Warning, the following episode of That Mental Ginger Show contains strong language and adult themes.
All right, troop.
Hello and welcome to That Mental Ginger Show with your host, Andrew Durning, a.k.a. The Mental Ginger. Well, my three faithful followers, I mentioned last week that I was looking after the wife and the kids, daddy daycare, well, they weren't well, so they very kindly gave me their cold. So if my throat sounds a bit like a junkie's carpet, then you'll understand why. But it doesn't stop me from interviewing my guests. The show must go on, as they say, and I'm very, very pleased to say that we have one of the finest bass players that Florida has to offer, Dave Pastorius. Am I saying your last name right, Dave?
Pastorius, yeah, that's it, man.
Yes, just because in the last one I got the guy's surname wrong and I felt like a right dick. So Dave, thanks very much for coming on the show. Well, obviously I see a lot of your posts about, you know, what your bass work and any lessons and stuff, but we'll come on to that as we go. Because yeah. One thing that I like to do to ask every guest first off is about their origin story, because everybody's got one. So Dave, in your own time, tell my three faithful followers your origin story.
It's funny, like when I was younger, I really didn't show much interest too much in music at all, even though, you know, most people with the name Pastorius, when you see the name Pastorius, you think of Jaco Pastorius, who was my uncle. Hmm. But most people just think that, like, you know, Jaco got me started on bass and this and that. But, you know, Jaco passed away when I was 10. I didn't touch bass till I was 15. And it actually had nothing to do with Jaco. It's kind of funny. A buddy of mine in junior high, I went to his house one day after school and he pulled out this like Sears bass guitar out of his, you know, closet and started playing the Red Hot Chili Peppers version of Higher Ground.
Nice.
And yeah. I was like, I remember looking at it. I was like, dude, what instrument is that? And he looked at me and he's like, it's a bass, you dummy. That's what you're on. Like, oh, that's what he played. And brilliant. That's right. That honestly is the moment that sold me. Now, of course, you know, when I started playing and everything, I go back and, you know, obviously love Jaco. Jaco was the man. But originally, and I think it's a good thing for me, too, just to come at it from a different angle. Like my original, you know, background, you know, roots is like punk music, metal music, rock music. As
opposed, you're speaking
to like
my language, man. You're speaking my language. I'm loving you more and more every minute. What was your favorite band?
Yeah, like bass players, like, you know, I was a big fan of Faith No More. I was a big fan of anything Mr. Bungle, you know, music like that. And I'm kind of glad that I got to come at it at a different angle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So that's kind of my origins, man. That's kind of where I started.
And one of the things I've always noticed about bass players, because I know actually quite a few of them, they're just some of the soundest, most chilled people on the planet. It's like, it's just a case of, they could just be like, yeah, man, just chilling, just doing what I do. And everybody just focuses on you. You may not think so, but I always pay attention to the bass player because I always feel they get a bit of a bad rap. Well, you know, because sometimes they feel that they're overshadowed by like the singers or the lead guitarists. But if you've not got a good bass line down, then it's missing something. Oh, yeah. It's missing something totally organic. So
yeah, well, I mean, your band's only as good as your drummer and your rhythm section. You know, drums first, bass second.
Yeah. Well, we always get told, like, no matter what happened in a band, blame the drummer.
Yeah, right. Well, the drummer, the thing about the drums is that is the hot spot. You know what I mean? Like, they got to be the most, to me, from my personal opinion, I feel like the drums, they got to be the most perfect out of anybody.
Yeah.
So they're in the hot seat. So I kind of feel bad, but, you know, they picked it.
I always remember one of my music exams I was doing, doing a song. Well, and I messed up a note, and I was like, oh, man. And the guy went, oh, don't worry, it was the drummer's fault. Drummer wasn't even playing. He was just like, it's the drummer's fault.
What? I used to do that with my band, you know, like the whole, like, pass the blame when you mess up. All you got to do is make a mean face to the guitar player, the drummer, look back at him.
Yeah.
I don't do that anymore. I try not to.
Yeah. So tell me about the bands. Tell the audience about the bands and the legend that is Pastorius.
What's that? Say that again.
Tell us about your bands, what the bands you've been in, the collaborations that you've worked on.
I have an original band called Local 518 that I've been doing for years. It's got my the drummer, Alex Petrosky, who also plays bass with me in Pat Travers' band now.
Nice.
And then I have Al Brodeur on guitar and Clinton Hatcher as keyboardist. And yeah, just recently we're starting to get back into rehearsals now. You know, I've been busy with, well, first off, even too busy with music in the last year or so, but now that it's starting to come back a little bit, then rehearsing with Local 518 and getting back out on the road with Pat Travers.
Nice one. Well, you just touched on, obviously, last year, like during the COVID, it was a bit of a, it was a bit of a bummer all round, but especially for artists. How did you find it, what, being like in lockdown and not really having any kind of interactions with other bandmates, which is what everybody
really needed? I mean, I honestly, man, it's like, I wasn't happy with it at all, but I think I got to practice a lot more. You know what I mean? So, you know, practicing, I got to practice more. It was like the money thing wasn't happening as much. So I had to do other things, you know what I mean, to make money.
Yeah.
But I started doing lessons during that time, trying to pick up more on lessons and things like that too. But yeah, I kind of used it as an opportunity to practice. I mean, it was pretty depressing. It still is a little bit, you know what I mean? I just want it to go away, man.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of those ones you just look at it and you're like, is this over yet?
Yeah.
But I mean, it suits me because every hobby that I've done, well, it doesn't really involve me leaving my dining room. It's quite funny. But one thing that I do have to ask, we'll take a slight tangent. Your beard is absolutely amazing, by the way. That beard is just fantastic.
That's funny.
How much like attention and growth did you have to do on that? I try and do it and it looks like I've not hit puberty yet.
Dude, it's funny. Like I started, with this, it's just for me, it seems like I just don't shave. You know what I mean? It kind of grows like that. I used to shave all this like way far down, but I just recently just letting it all grow in. So that's kind of what it does.
Yeah. It's just what you've just got such the cool, what rocker look is just that beard, the hat, just chewing away what looks like a toothpick. You're just chilling in shorts. What, and
this right here, though, it's funny, man. Everybody asks what this. That's a Starbucks coffee stir.
Oh, like nice.
In January, so I'll be coming up on a year, I quit vaping.
Wow. What caused you to quit the vaping?
Yeah, oh, man. I didn't just vape. That's like what I did. I vaped. That's all I did.
Yeah.
So I vaped a lot, is what I'm saying. Like a lot. Yeah. So for me to quit, it was hard. But, I mean, I just started, you know, chewing on these things.
Nice one. What was your favorite flavor of vape? Did you have a flavor? Were you one of those guys?
I don't like flavors. When I was vaping, I just liked the straight tobacco flavor.
Nice. I remember I tried a vape once and it was like hitting a bong for the first time. I was like, oh man. Oh, because you don't expect the power of it more than anything else.
It's horrible for you.
Yeah. Hopefully I'm not triggering you by going and talking about vaping. It was just the one experience I had. So tell us about the bass lessons. What specifically got you into doing the bass lessons? I know there was lockdown and stuff, but a lot of people could just be like, I'll just practice away. But you chose to take your talents and mold the fingers of many a young person. That came out wrong. Please rephrase. Why did you gravitate towards, you know, teaching?
I mean, it's just something, to be quite honest, money. I need to make some money. You know what I mean? Teaching is fun, though. It's funny because it's weird. Like, I remember when I was younger, I, for a while, taught out of a store. And I didn't really like it as much because it seemed like not all of them, but a lot of the students or kids that came in, you kind of babysitting.
Yeah.
If someone online wants to actually contact you and pay you money, you know what I mean, for a lesson, they really want to play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they're really into it. So usually those lessons are more like fun. You feel like they're paying attention. They're asking questions. There's like, you know, and then they come back the next week and they've actually done the stuff. That stuff like makes me so happy when I see it. You know what I mean? See them improve.
No, definitely.
And I learned from them too. I learned from students too, because I always feel like you can learn from anybody.
Yeah. What would you say you've learned from your students? What would you say is the biggest thing you've learned so far?
Say that again.
What's the biggest thing you've learned from your students so far?
Biggest thing I've learned from students?
Yeah.
I would say, it's funny because every single player's got their own little like feel or flavor. So it's like, and it's weird little things. Like I'll see, for me, I'm just very much like, I'll see a lick someone did or a weird little groove. I'll be like, dude, what did you just do right there?
Yeah.
And I'll feel bad. And they'll be like, show me that. And I'll be like, they're supposed to be paying me. But you know what I'm saying? That's the kind of stuff I learned, like actual physical, like, you know, like licks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or ideas.
It's the collaborative part of it. I think that's probably what ties in with being in a band as well. You just will jam something, Yeah, it might just be something, a little daft thing, and something will just start around and go, dude, play that again. That was fire. And then it just becomes part of the song.
Yeah, and the thing with me is, which I've always felt kind of lucky in a way, I have a very, I mean, it's a bad thing and a good thing, but for me, I think it's worked out more as a good thing, is I've always had a very, like, kind of short attention span. So for me, like, the greats, like, you know, going and listening to Victor Wooten or these guys, I would like check out his stuff and like kind of get the gist of what he's doing.
Yeah.
But not have the attention span to perfectly learn his songs. So eventually what I would do is I would take like a little technique he did and kind of like get the gist and go my way with it.
Yeah. I think that's probably more a case of, well, it's not like a lack of attention. It's the performer's nature that we like to constantly find new things to develop our skills and improve. It's the same like my background was acting, and I would always be looking forward to the next script or the next project because it was a different character, a different motivation set, different mindset you had to get into. It's the same in music as well. You're constantly trying to learn and adapt new skills and new sounds and trying to take new stuff in. So give yourself a lot more credit, man.
I don't get that. I mean, that's crazy, man. I think that's pretty crazy acting to have to do that. That seems really hard.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of the same, like I said, with the music stuff as well. Well, if you bring out like an album and you go, right, I want to try a different sound, that's you just diving into a different project, going into a different mindset. You'll research like the kind of sound you're looking for and take any inspirations and hints from it and just kind of run with it. So they're basically the same thing, just different types of stuff.
Yeah.
So tell me more about your band and some of the stuff that you've worked on with them. Like, what types of sounds have you experimented with since we were on that kind of trajectory?
You mean like I have I told you my original band, we're kind of like instrumental for the most part, instrumental music, but it's like jazz, rock, reggae, metal, just a fusion of stuff, man. Kind of anything goes.
Nice.
And obviously, you know, with Pat Travers' band, that's kind of more like, you know, a little progressive 70s rock.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun though. I love playing with Pat. Been with Pat for about 5 years now. And I've learned a lot from playing with him too. He's a legend. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's really cool to get to like, you know, pick that guy's brain. And, you know, we're doing a new album that's supposed to be out next year sometime. We're already done with the recording, but it's getting mixed and mastered now. So I'm super excited about that.
So can you tell us a little bit about what the album's going to be like? Give us a little taster, a bit of an exclusive, if you will.
Yeah, it's got a lot of, it's like, you know, it's Pat's songs. Well, I'm stoked because I'm going to have one of my originals, it looks like, on the album.
So really nice.
Which I'm, you know, excited about. It's an instrumental. But as far as the music, it's kind of, it's rocking. You know, it's rock. It's like, Pat's got a bunch of influences, which is funny because when I first was going to, you know, when I found out I was going to try out for him, I kind of being lazy, just assumed that he was like a straight blues guy. I was like, oh, Pat Travers, blues guy.
Yeah.
And then I remember like a day or two before the rehearsal, I was like, well, I'm going to listen to some of his stuff. And then I listened to it. I was like, oh man, it's like progressive. It's badass. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, are you familiar with any of his stuff?
Yeah, I'm familiar. Well, I did my, as I call it, the Facebook stalking.
Yeah, it's like not at all straight blues. It's like and his bass player, Mars Calling, was a beast. So he was a badass. But yeah, but anyways, it's funny because what I decided to do was pick one of his songs and try to learn it in those couple of days as well as I could to impress him. And then we got to the rehearsal, all Pat wanted to do was jam. So I was like, this guy's right up my alley.
Nice. So was that kind of all it was for a tryout? Because I've only ever tried out for a band once and it was more for the singing side of it. So it was just sing this song. Okay. I can sing that. Okay. Yeah. You're in. What's it like more for the instrumental side of it? Was it just straight jam and then like a chat afterwards, or did you have to do a couple of tryouts?
That's kind of what you do. You kind of, you know, you kind of jam. Cause it's like, I've always playing. Cause it's funny because as the older I get, I realize that like, you know, the musical, the instrument part is just one part of it, really. I mean, really, it's about the 23 hours off stage, not about the hour on. So it's like there's always going to be guys that can play the part and play the licks and play the riffs. But do you want to hang out with these people? You know what I mean? Some of these people, there's just some amazing players that are total tools. And it's like, I don't want to get on a tour bus with them. I don't want to have to, you know what I mean? Do you really want to travel with a guy? You know what I mean? So that's a big part of it, you know, is, you know. Can you hang out? Are you cool? Can you chill? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are you easy to get along with? That's a big part of it.
Yeah, I found that a lot with performers. Like, they're very much there's a marmite. It's either you love them or you hate them. There's never really a kind of a gray area in between. You just think, good guy, wanker.
Yeah.
But that's just usually how it goes. So how many songs are going to be on the album?
What is it? I'm not sure if it's like, I thought it was like 11 or 12, maybe.
Ah, nice one, man. Like, you'll need to let me know when you get a confirmed date and I can do a plug for it.
Definitely.
Yeah
man.
Yeah. Definitely. Because one thing I love hearing, it's new music and progressive music. You're always kind of, in my case, I'm always trying to pick it apart. I'm trying to hear where the lead's coming in, what type of bass solos you've got, what are you using, like a double kick drum, or what house is singing on it. Well, I'm very much like a music nerd. Well, at least I became one over the last like few years anyway.
That's cool.
Yeah. So what do you think the future holds for you? What, Mr. Pastorius, what, is there any more projects that you're planning to get lined up, or are you content with Pat Travers?
Hopefully the future holds many gigs. That is really, really at the end of the day. Like I said, I mean, I love playing music. I love it. I love being able to do what I love for a living.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just want to be able to support kids and family with music.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So you got a family?
Not too complex. Huh?
You got a family?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I'm married. I have five kids and a stepdaughter.
Five kids and a stepdaughter. Man.
Yeah.
Did no one ever tell you to pull out? I'm married. You definitely love your kids. I mean, I got twin boys, and it was one of those ones I was like, I only ordered one.
That's funny.
That isn't even my best joke. My best joke is when my dad told me to split her in half, he didn't mean the embryo.
How old are your kids?
They're three. Years old, and they're at that stage where they're starting to figure out kind of who they are and what their interests are. And it's quite cool because sometimes they'll hear some stuff that I've done. They're like, oh, daddy on YouTube. And I'm like, uh-oh, what are they listening to now? Please tell me there's no swearing in it.
That's fine.
I know. How do you find it with your kids, like when they hear your stuff?
My kids?
Yeah.
They like it, but you know how kids are, man. Especially nowadays, they ain't impressed with shit.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I remember because my little brother is actually like, my little brother's 14 years younger than me, but even he's like, what? I'm 44, so he's like 30 now.
You're 44.
Yeah, I'm 44. Yeah.
Man, Florida is being good to you, man. I'm 34 and I look like hammered shit compared to you, man.
Well, my brother's 30, but even when he was younger, I was like, because I just kind of, we just like my generation. I feel like we use the internet a lot and all that, but as far as like growing up in school with it, like those phones and stuff, it's just like insanity. It's like a generation. I told my brother, it's a generation of people that have seen everything but ain't done shit. So it's like they're like,
oh, not impressed. You have got to clip that and just use it for any tour that you're doing. Just like spread that message, because that is just so accurate.
Well, that's what I feel like. It's like you show kids, and it's part of like, if I was around, I'd be the same way. So I can't really fault them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's like you try to show them stuff and they're like, it's that whole, it's I.
Yeah.
It's all right.
It only lasts like a minute, maybe two max, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, do you not think it's like kind of, because I think I fall into maybe just outside your generation, because we're 10 years apart, but we're probably in the same bit where our generation's had a bit more attention span.
Yeah.
Like, the main example I've noticed is I'm a massive Thomas the Tank Engine fan. Like, proper train dork, love it. And my parents could put on a VHS video for all the young ones that didn't know what that was. You didn't want to find out. And they would just put me in front of that TV, put the video on 40 minutes, and I was set. I was done. That was me.
Yeah.
Whereas, I put on an episode of Thomas for my kids. 4.5 minutes long, 2 minutes in, they're like, I'm bored. Yeah. You don't know what bored is, man. Half the shit that you've got is crazy. It's unreal. So how old are your kids, if you can remember all the ages, because you've got so many?
Yeah. But it's like, I remember, it's like, it's crazy, because if we were that age, we'd be the same way now too.
Yeah, definitely. I'd be one of those ones, I'd be like, this interview wouldn't have lasted so far, 19 minutes, it would have lasted about 9 seconds.
Yeah. See, that's the one thing, because I remember, because it's funny, like, I remember, I don't want to become like that guy, you know what I mean? That, you know, when I was your age, we did this before you did. I don't want to be like that. Like, because when we were younger, we had the adults telling us, like, you know, because you want to, like, even with music, like, I always try to find new stuff, you know what I mean? And stay somewhat, because you want to stay relevant, man. You want to, you know, with it, for me, with being a bass player, licks and things and stuff that people are doing, you know?
Do you find that, like, being a musician, that's a kind of, or involved in any creative arts, kind of a way of us holding on to our youth, in a sense, because it's
being
like, because like everything's new and you're trying different things, you're experimenting with stuff, just kind of like you did when you were a kid. Everything was new and exciting and you were discovering things. You're like, wow. It always felt to me like I was, it was that part of my childhood that I never felt I could grab onto, but I always loved it because it was something different and fresh every single time.
Yeah. I mean, you, I mean, I've always, even new music, I find it's like, you know, I just like lately, what was it, like today or yesterday, I just started checking out this band. I'm probably a little late, but there's a band, Polyphia. Have you ever heard of them?
I'll need to check that out. That's one I've not heard of.
Check them out, man. They're amazing. The guitar players and the bassist, and it's so cool. And these, like, these. So I've been going online and trying to learn these new techniques, like hybrid picking and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But for me, it's, I don't feel like it's like I'm trying to stay like, you know, like a kid, or, you know what I mean, relive my, it's nothing like that. It's just trying to grow as a player.
Yeah, I'm not saying that you're going like, you know, Michael Jackson, Peter Pan syndrome, man. I'm just saying like, it's, well, it's just like, it's that same kind of feeling where you're looking at different stuff and new things and trying different things out, like you do when you're a kid trying to find your way, well, essentially in life. I look at my kids in nursery sometimes when I'm going to pick them up, and I see them just figuring out like what a basic kind of building block set kind of looks like. And I'm like, I wish I had that sometimes. But then I look at it and I go, I'm like that with like guests and doing the podcast, doing different interviews, because I get that kind of same buzz and trying to figure out, like, how am I going to speak to this guy? What stuff's going to happen today? It's the advantage of it being kind of unscripted. It makes it more exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So what would you say is the kind of one thing that got you through with music, like, see, when you were, what, because every musician has that thing where they're like, I don't know if I can keep going with this. Like, I mean, in your case example, you've got a wife and you've got kids to feed, and what, sometimes the pressure of that to step into that normal life can really be quite hard on you. What made you push through that and break through that barrier
with music?
Yeah,
I just love playing music. I've always loved it. You know what I mean? I mean, you have times when it's not, you'll go through periods sometimes where you may not feel creative or you don't feel like you're playing right. And honestly, the best thing for me in those moments, the best practice is to not practice, is to like put your instrument down, get away from it for even like a week if you have to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just go do different shit. And then you usually come back with a fresh outlook, you know what I mean? And bring things. So I think people get way too into their instruments to the, it almost becomes their God. And I don't think that's a good thing ever.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, I love music, but music is of God. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's like, So trying to find other things, and I can't really talk. I mean, there's not really too much I'm into, but I try to find other things, you know?
Yeah. That's, again, it's a thing with any performing artist, we try to find different things to engage and stimulate us. Like, they might not stick compared to like the first love, like in your case, music. But you'll always try and find something to kind of keep that ticking over. So we're starting to come up on time. So I'll round off the section of grilling you with the same question that I ask all my guests. If you could give one piece of advice to anybody that's struggling with mental health issues at this precise moment in time, what would that piece of advice be and why?
I guess I would say, like, open up, talk to people. Don't, you know what I mean? I mean, there's everybody out there is going through it. You'd be surprised how much you can relate to somebody else. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
I personally deal with a lot of anxiety, like health anxiety all the time. And it's like, it's gotten worse and worse, even though I feel fine, you know, but it's like that. I mean, there's all kinds of different mental health things, you know?
Yeah.
But for me, another thing that I would suggest is, like I just said, I would say, get outside, go for a walk, breathe fresh air. I don't know. You know what I mean? Talk to people.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
That always seems to work for me. But then again, that's just me, you know?
Yeah. I mean, everybody's different. Like, I mean, for me, like, the outside is like my mortal enemy.
Yeah. don't be embarrassed to talk to anybody. You know what I mean? I mean, everybody's going through it. Everybody's had it rough. Like, this has been a crazy couple of years on the whole planet, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's definitely, it's managed to shift everybody's priorities, like some in a good way, some in a not so good way. But what, that's why I kind of wanted to do the podcast and relate it to mental health, because when COVID hit, it became everything's about COVID. Well, it's going to like physically destroy you. You're going to die. Well, and as things started to get better, well, people seem to forget those mental scars. It's going to last a lot longer. It's a PTSD thing.
Absolutely. And the thing is, though, what's funny about it, like, is if you turn off your phone, not off your phone, but if you get away from the internet, you get away from the news for like 3 or 4 days, you'll find out your life's not that affected. It's like, and I feel better. Like, I'm getting way too into it. Every single news article, COVID this, COVID that, da, 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 da. It's just all bad, bad, bad. But it's really not, you know what I mean? Life is good, man. And we're going to be all right.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've survived like a lot of things up to now. Well, that's just another bump in the road. Well, yeah, just avoid avoid the news like everything. What news is like the enemy. It's crazy.
Well, all they do is, what's funny is, like, you know, obviously I'm not saying nothing that nobody doesn't know, but you know, the whole division thing, it's divide and conquer. But it's like, what you if you look at the internet, you think there's two sides and that's it. But most people you meet in life are pretty chill and down the middle, man.
Yeah,
they may have some views and this and that, but it's like online is the only place. Occasionally, I'll get like someone mad at me over a video. Like, that sucked. I'll be like, I have never played a show where someone actually came up to me and said that to me. It's online. So online, I don't know. It seems like online is just worse. So,
yeah, it's because they've got that thing to hide behind. They can just go, "Poo, you suck." And then they come up to you and they go, "Oh, can I have your autograph?" No, spin on it, man.
And online are the media. They make people seem like they're in, you know, there's hate on just both sides, and everyone's just extreme one way or the other. And it's like, most people are pretty chill and down the middle and want to do good, man.
Yeah. It's like most news reports are always like 25 minutes of life is horrible, we're all going to die. And then they round off and we rescue the puppy from a tree.
And most people can also disagree with others and still remain friends instead of hating each other for just their, you know, a view on something.
If that was the case, I would literally have three friends. Because everybody knows how nuts my brain is. Well, and if you haven't figured it out by now, well, David, in this case, you definitely have. David, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Like, you're so zen and so chill. It feels like we should just be kicking back and listening to some acoustic guitar and having like a campfire around, so singing songs about summer and stuff like that. It's so cool, and it's why I love these things. It could be on the other side of the world, but it feels like you are in my dining room with me, and we're just chilling and having a chat like we've known each other for years, and I love it, man. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, no, I definitely, hopefully one of these days I can get over that way over to where are you, in UK?
Yeah, in Scotland.
Oh man, I would love to go there.
Yeah, just be prepared, it's always raining.
Oh, is it? So it's like, is it like it's a Seattle?
Yeah. Well,
Seattle's like that.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Well, except like occasionally, like, you know, we can venture outside.
Like, then it's a little different for you.
Yeah, we've had a couple of summers. Well, we're up in like, I have to hide. I'm gonna die.
Wow. Well, so I guess all the rain. I would think all the rain though could affect mental health too. You know what I mean? Having to be inside all the time.
Yeah, that's just something you've got to try and learn to figure out, like the positive coping strategies and how you're gonna work it and. You know, just dealing with how it goes. I mean, I've been to Florida once, and that was for my honeymoon. Absolutely loved it.
Where did you go in Florida?
Orlando.
Oh, nice. So you were like an hour from me.
Yeah, nice one. If I'd known you then, I would have took the hour's bus. I'd be like, right, yeah. I know, I've just married you, but bye. if I'd known that. But yeah, I loved it. But one of the things I did notice was your weather was so extreme. It was like, big beautiful 1 minute there, it was like thunderous downpour, and then 2 minutes later it's dry and it's all gone, and I'm like, wow.
Well, that's what they say about Florida weather. If you don't like it, stick around. It's always changing. It's always changing. And that's kind of what I said about Local 518, my band. If you don't like it, stick around. It changes up. There's lots of changes.
Definitely, man. So we've come to that part of the show where it's now Florida's favorite segment, Ask Andrew Anything. Now, this is where, after me grilling the guest for 29 minutes and 30 seconds, they now get to fire a question at me. It could be something as mundane as what's your favourite colour of towel, to who would win the fight between a sphinx cat and a genetically engineered squirrel. So,
all right.
David Pastorius, do you have a question for this mental ginger?
Okay, you said you mentioned you're an actor, right?
Yeah.
You act. So who in your opinion is the, what's favorite movie and greatest actor of all time?
Favorite movie, Godfather
Part 2. In
my personal opinion, Godfather Part 2. Godfather Part 2 is just an absolute masterclass. You look at the...
You know what's funny about that? I just started watching that. I've never seen it. Last week, I put it on and I stopped it because I had to do something now. I haven't finished it. But Godfather Part 2, I finished one.
Yeah.
So you're saying Part 2, right?
Part 2, definitely.
I'll have to check that out and then I'll message you.
You get the emergence of Robert De Niro, you get Al Pacino, Robert Duvall. I mean, the story, what it does, what a sequel is meant to do, ups the stakes and gives you more drama towards it. If you got it on DVD and it's over two discs, it's definitely worth the, you know, insert disc two. And I was like, okay, I'm inserting disc two right now. I preferred it over the first one. The first one's still great. It's got like the heavyweight masterclass of Marlon Brando, but it's just the evolution of the Michael Corleone character and especially in part two, how he develops and all the different sides of it. Sometimes you don't expect, and you're like, wow, this is brilliant. And the supporting cast, I mean, I haven't even mentioned Diane Keaton, and she's absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. But she's what brilliant just for watching her and Al Pacino's dynamic. It's just great. So that was my favorite movie of all time.
Okay.
My favorite actor, he actually asked me that in last week's one, and it was Ryan Reynolds.
Okay.
One of the reasons is that he's Deadpool. And Deadpool is my favourite anti-hero of all time. The second I found out that he was cast as Deadpool, even the first time round, I was over the moon. Yeah. And again, more respect when I found out that, you know, the abomination that they had at the end of X-Men Origins Wolverine, Ryan Reynolds refused to do that. It was a stunt guy that done it from then on.
Huh. Cool, man.
And just seeing some of the work that he's done, like, he's a fantastic comedic actor, but he's also got some real, real range when it comes to the dramatic skills. If there's a film that I recommend that last week, it just sounds like I'm going to constantly plug it, but well, it's the film Buried, where he's basically buried. He's buried alive. In a coffin. And it's a 90-minute thrill ride. Of just like tension and suspense. It's one of those ones
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, you watch it once, and you're like, that's the only time I can watch that again because my heart can't take it.
He's a great actor. He's good in the comedy and he's good in serious stuff.
Yeah, I remember when he first came on the scene in Two Guys and a Girl in a Pizza Place, and I was like, that's my man there.
He was great. He was great in Waiting.
Oh, yeah. Love that film. Don't get me wrong. I prefer Van Wilder to Waiting just for the sense of comedic timing and the chemistry with Tara Reid.
Yeah,
but he's got such a good back catalogue. I mean, even his films that are like, you know, crap, which is... Let's face it, there's a few of them. There's Blade 3, there's Green Lantern, there's RIPD, but just the fact that he is there, it just makes it worthwhile.
There you go.
Definitely. And a film that got a lot of hate, but I didn't really think it was too bad, was the Amityville Horror reboot.
Okay, I seen that. That was good.
Yeah.
I thought it was all right.
Yeah, all the wee tweaks and CGI stuff they've done with it wasn't good, and it was... The story was a bit kind of up and down, but Reynolds, this was the first time I saw him in a real serious kind of dramatic part where he's turned, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
This is when I knew the guy had range.
Yeah. That was those murders that took, was it the DeFeo family, the murders?
Yeah.
When I was up in Long Island, I went and checked out the house.
Wow. What was that like?
Yeah. Just like a house on the lake, man. But it's, you know, it's creepy. It's creepy when you think about, you know, what happened there.
Yeah, did you get any hints of something ain't right here?
Probably, maybe a little bit. That's only because I knew.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's, you know, it's like that. So, I have a kind of interest in that kind of stuff. Like, when I was in San Francisco gigging, I wanted to check out some of the Zodiac killer spots, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Things like that.
Well, you better have a true crime documentary kind of guy.
Yeah, I love that. I don't love crime and serial killers.
But yeah, you don't love the like what happens, but the events around it are fascinating. It interests a lot of people. What would you say is your kind of favorite true crime that you've watched so far?
Honestly, there's a YouTube channel that I like checking out a lot. There's that chapter. Have you ever checked that out?
I'll need to check it out. That's definitely on the list now.
Just type in that chapter, and he does. He uploads like once or twice a week, and they're like 30-minute videos, and he just does a bunch of different cases, but he's great.
Nice. I'll definitely need to check it out. Well, Dave, I think this is probably the most varied interview that I've had so far. What we've covered everything from, you know, music to acting to true crime to, you know, stoner humor. What I've absolutely loved speaking to you, man. Like, you're just so, I say, you're so chill. What, and you're the only guy I know that could come on wearing a baseball cap. What, and just, I would be like, dude, take that off. You're in the house. Fuck's sake, man. It's one of the ones I'm like, leave it on. You look cool.
That's it. That's cool.
Yeah, definitely, man. Well, it's been such a pleasure speaking to you, buddy. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to come on, man.
Well, oh, man, thank you for having me.
No, definitely, man. Like, I really, really appreciate it. So for my three faithful followers, until next time, I have been Andrew Durning. This has been the most Matthew McConaughey impersonating I've ever seen, Dave Pistorius. And just waiting for the go. All right, all right, all right.
All right, man.
So until next time, take care. Stay safe. Bye-bye.
Thank you.